Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier, happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hey, busy mamas, it's Mia here. Welcome to this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am really excited today to have a doctor on the line. So I have Dr. Michelle Sands, and she is a doctor of neuropathic medicine, a holistic nutritionist, a certified personal trainer, and of course, first and foremost, she's a woman, a wife, and a mom. Michelle believes that nature provides us with everything we need to live optimally. She also understands that in today's modern world, our bodies get exposed to lots of unnatural things that take us away from that optimal level of health. Michelle is passionate about helping women, specifically moms, harness the power of nature to return them to a life where they are happy, healthy, and hot. She uses modern science, functional lab testing, holistic lifestyle modifications, natural and bioidentical supplementation, and Eastern philosophies to restore healthy and increase vital energy in her clients. So I am so excited to welcome her to this podcast. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Mia. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Oh, we are very excited to have you. And I have like all these very technical questions after reading your bio for you, but let's start first at the beginning. So you're a mom, right? You have a little boy.
I have a 1-year-old. So that's, and the story behind that is kind of what got me into natural medicine was because in my 20s, I was told I would never have children.
And because of like medical reasons.
I had hormone imbalances. I was a triathlete and a ultra marathoner. All through like coming out of high school into college, I was a long distance runner. And I was, you know, my bio, I was a personal trainer like back in the 90s when it was very fashionable to eat very low fat and high carb and to do tons of aerobics, which is horrible for your hormones, turns out.
Got it. So you dove into this world. So you weren't a doctor, obviously, in your 20s.
No, so. I was a personal trainer and I was a registered dietitian. So I was going by the food pyramid, which is, you know, not what I do now.
Okay.
But I went to doctors and they all told me, you know, if I ever wanted to have children, that I would definitely have to do, you know, fertility treatments and that may or may not work. And, you know, I started on my own, just kind of reading books and researching like natural medicine and Eastern medicine. And then I started talking to some doctors in the field and that was kind of like changed my career path. And as I started to heal my own body, I learned that I could help other women heal their bodies as well. And that's why like I became a holistic nutritionist, which is kind of the holistic side of nutrition, which is a lot of the same things that natural medicine doctors do. But I wanted to make sure people would really listen to me. So I went ahead and became a doctor because now, you know, I'm actually a doctor. So people know like what I'm talking about is actually like scientific and real.
Awesome.
So that's kind of why I became a doctor, because of my own health journey. And then also because I wanted to have the authority to be able to help people.
Cool. And so tell us like a little bit about the changes you made in that journey to get pregnant and to.
Yeah. So it was really hard at first because I kind of identified with how I live my life, and I had to really back off on the ultra endurance training and really just change the way I exercise. I still worked out. I was very into working out. It's part of who I was, but I changed into doing a lot of yoga, more weights, more interval style training, and less of the hours and hours of cardio that I was used to. And then I also had to change my diet to where I had to do more like healthy fats. Cholesterol is what makes your sex hormones. So without any fat in your diet, it's really hard for your body to produce those hormones. And then also the way I was living my life, I was, you know, going to school. I had a career. I was doing professional sports. I needed to get less stress in my life, because when you're stressed, you have that fight or flight response. And so your body senses danger, and it can't tell a difference between studying for a test stress or running from a lion stress. So to your body, whether you're stressed about work or stressed about your relationship or stressed because you're actually in some kind of physical life-threatening danger, your body cannot tell the difference. And so hormonally and biologically, you actually shut off your sex hormone pathways and really switch over to that adrenaline cortisol stress hormone pathway. So you produce more of that and less of your sex hormones. So I had to really find ways to de-stress my life. Yeah.
Well, it makes sense, because if you're, you know, fleeing from a lion, you don't want to have a baby in your stomach, right?
Yeah, but for everyone listening, I really want to stress that at the time when I had all these issues, I was really doing what I thought was the healthiest thing to do. I was using what I learned from the personal training world and from the registered dietitian world. I was doing everything that was supposed to be healthy. So it was really, really frustrating when I didn't have the perfect health that I wanted.
And so tell us some of those good fats that you added. What did some of those look like?
So like coconut oil, olive oil, avocados were great. Not shying away from the dark meat on the chicken, you know, like you can have the dark meat as long as it's a well-raised organic animal protein source. The fattier meats, like fatty fish, like salmon, those are actually super healthy and super nourishing for your body.
Interesting. And then, and was it a process? Like,
oh, it was a total process, because you got to understand, like, after years and years of living a certain way, it was really, really hard to make that change. And I had fear of getting fat from eating fat. I had fear of, you know, gaining weight from not doing all the cardio as used to. And it was really, I was just used to having a like type A kind of high stress life. And it really was a process. And now if you meet me now, you'd be like, she is not type A at all. Like,
interesting.
She's like the opposite. But it was really, really a process. And you know, I have to credit my husband for helping me on the journey as well. I met him kind of halfway through, but he's really helped me to just kind of relax and let go. And even as a mom, I know we're with a lot of moms, and I'm a mom, and sometimes it's really hard to like not have the perfect house and not have, you know, perfect dinner on the table. But you got to just let go sometimes, and it's okay. You know, go ahead and play with your kid. They're not going to care if the dishes are done or not, you know?
Right. Well, and the husband was an important part of the equation, right? You needed him. You needed him to get the baby.
I needed him to make the baby, but also for my sanity. Yeah. I mean, he's super supportive of my career and just helping out with my son and just making me kind of like being okay to not be perfect.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so true. They're important. We should tell them that more often. just thinking out loud. All right. So after you had your son a year ago, how did your what happens to so you talk a lot about balancing your hormones and restoring your metabolism, and a lot of what you talk about is post baby at this point, because probably that's where you are.
Yes.
So how does all that change? Like, do your hormones, I expect, actually change after you've had a baby, right?
Yeah.
Our bodies are so different.
It's really crazy, because your hormones are at really like they're kind of at like elevated levels while you're pregnant, and then once you have the baby, your hormone levels drop, your nutrition gets depleted, and you're kind of at this low. And that low is what a lot of times causes the postpartum depression. It's the reason why you can't lose the weight right away, which no one should try to lose the weight right away, because that first 4 months, that's when your hormones are at that low, and it takes 4 to 5 months for them to come back up. And when they come back up, that's when your body will allow you to lose some of the weight. It'll allow you to have your sanity. So it's okay, like, to be a little bit not feeling like the happiest joy when you first have your baby. Like, I remember when I first had my son, I had a day when I was just like, why am I not like the happiest person in the world? You know, my son is the most beautiful being on the planet. I have a very supportive husband. We have a nice house. Like, I have everything I want. Like, why am I sad? Well, it was my hormones. But, you know, we kind of beat ourselves up for that, because people don't really talk about that. They talk about the beauty of pregnancy and the joy of having a child. And no one really talks about the the low that you kind of feel right after your body's been beat up. You're psychologically like, you don't know if you're going to be a good mom because you've never done this before. So it's really kind of a whirlwind that we go through when we have a baby. And on top of the physical trauma, the emotional stress, your hormones are causing you to have these feelings and also lowering your metabolism, lowering your energy.
Yeah. It's interesting because, well, we personally, the two of us don't know each other that well, but we were connected by our mutual friend, Ashay. But so I have three kids and they're each 2 years apart. So in 6 years, I was either like pregnant, nursing, pregnant, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in my first pregnancy, I gained 85 pounds. Or no, that's not true. I had 85 pounds on me after I gave birth. I gained like over 100 pounds, like a lot of weight. I don't even know why. I don't know how. It just happened. And then everyone was like, oh, don't worry. You'll like lose it nursing. That so did not happen. but anyway, and at the time I had actually a graphic design company. And so I had this company and eventually I had these three kids and I didn't lose the weight in the middle of it all because I was either nursing or pregnant.
Right.
So my moment was sort of after the third, you know, when I was, you know, she was almost a year, she's now seven. And I had that moment of like, I have everything. I have this company. I have these three beautiful kids. I have an amazing husband and I am freaking miserable. And so for me, the only tangible thing I could see was the weight. So that's where I started. And, you know, that had this whole other ripple effect in my life. But it was amazing. Like, I just had no idea. I had no idea the power food had.
Yeah.
I couldn't have even have imagined that at that moment.
And you know what? I mean, it's really important for moms and prospective moms out there to realize that when you have your baby, like right after, like that's the time when you really, really want to concentrate on nourishing your body and not to stress. Like you really need to like not be counting calories, not be watching fat grams. Like you're eating to repair your body and also to feed your child if you're breastfeeding. Yep. You know, so that's definitely not the time you want to think about losing weight. And it's hard to say that because I mean, I'm you know, in the health and nutrition and fitness world. And it was really hard for me to have those extra pounds on me. And, you know, because people kind of look to me for like a role model for good health, right? So I'm like, oh, I can't be fat, you know, no one will want to work with me.
Yeah.
But even like the photo shoot I did for my website, that was pretty much like a few months after I had my baby. So that's kind of at my largest that I did that photo shoot because I wanted to women to realize that like we're real, like we're real people. And you know, I'm like, everyone's gonna be looking at the baby anyways.
Totally. Well, and I think that's what happened to me. It's like up until that moment, it's so easy to hide yourself, right? Like behind these babies that are so cute. and then at that moment I was like, it was starting to be where they were going off and they were in preschool and I, you know, I was at real work and I was like, huh, I don't have babies to hide me. And so, you know, it changed. It was amazing. But it took me till that moment to sort of get there and understand that.
And I give you a lot of credit because I, having three children right after each other, I mean, we're at the one-year-old stage, like where he's teething right now. Like he has about six teeth, but they're more coming in. And oh my God, the sleep deprivation is absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
And me and my husband will just look at each other and say, I do not know how people have more than one child. Like, why do they want to do this more than once?
I have to say two was like a shocker. It was like kind of hard. But then three was kind of like that cheaper by the dozen, easier by the dozen. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like somehow three was just like, we can roll with this. And then we're sort of like, yeah, and we're done. we're complete.
I definitely have huge respect for anyone who has more than one child and for any single moms out there. Huge respect for you.
Yeah. Totally.
I don't know how you do it. I have a nanny who comes a few hours a day while I work. So on the days that she has something else to do or can't make it in, I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to do this?
Yeah.
So, you know, kudos to you and all the moms out there who have more than one child. Cause it's the hardest. I always say it's the hardest job I've ever done. Harder than being a doctor, harder than medical school, harder than doing triathlon.
Oh, totally.
You know, being a mom is the most difficult yet the most rewarding job you can ever have.
Oh my God. Absolutely. Totally agree. So, and it does get better after a while. I mean, the sleep part gets better. You're almost there. You're getting there.
He's had a few nights where he's made it through,
Yeah.
so.
Well, let's see. So mine are 7, 10, and 12. And now on Saturdays, we wake up first. Isn't
Oh,
that cool? So like that's a new
that's
thing.
amazing. Yeah, I can't even
Yeah.
imagine. Like, we don't need an alarm clock because we have a baby.
Exactly. So it's nice to every once in a while wake up first, and I hear it gets more and more so that way. So let's dive into a little bit about the food. So I was super excited to see that you talk a bit about calcium and dairy. So it's interesting because even before I sort of started getting into my food, which like my first foray into changing myself had a lot to do with just like getting rid of many things like gluten and dairy. And I actually didn't eat meat for a while. And sugar and all those things you can think of. But even before I did that, it's funny, my husband had this instinct about dairy and not wanting to give it to the kids. And so I just sort of went with the flow because what else can you do? But it's one of those things that you get so fought on, like still to this day, when I know perfectly well that we are fine and great. Like my kids now are old enough where we go to the pediatrician and they're like, "Mama, don't worry, we'll just lie."
It's so funny because I recently wrote a blog post about dairy-free kids because I get a lot of calls from moms I work with and just from moms who listen to my summits and find me online. And they're really concerned because their doctors are pressuring them, like, why are you not feeding your kid milk? They need milk. Like, how you have to give your kid milk because they need calcium. And milk and calcium are very, like, closely related in our minds. I don't know if it's, the dairy boards commercials we see on TV or whatever it is, all the advertising that we get. But, yes, milk does have a good source of calcium, but there's so many other great sources of calcium that are dairy-free. And, dairy is an al it's one of the top allergens. There's a lot of people who can't tolerate it. And, conventional dairy, if you look into like what's in it and how it's made, you will never eat drink milk again that's
Yes.
conventional milk. I've really turned so many dinner conversations sour.
Me too.
So, but yeah, just look, Google it, look up what's in conventional milk, and you definitely won't want to drink it, and you certainly won't want to feed it to your children. Now, organic milk's a little bit different. And then also a good alternative if you still want dairy, but you don't want to go conventional or cow's milk. Goat milk is a great alternative to cow's milk because goat milk is more similar to breast milk in how it's absorbed into the body and the components of it. And when you really
Interesting.
think about like baby goats are about the same size as baby children, and then adult goats grow to be about 150 to 200 pounds, pretty much like adult humans. But cows, on the other hand, they're like huge and they have two stomachs, and it's just a totally different beast.
That's so interesting. I love that comparison of the size. That's a
Yeah,
cool, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't work for everything, but
Yeah.
it makes sense when you think about it.
Yep. And so tell us some of the other ways that aren't dairy related. Like what are
So
what?
some of my favorite is salmon with or canned fish like sardines with the bones in it. Their bones are very, very soft. So when I'm saying bones, like, you're not going to really think about like crunching on bones. They're very soft and they can be eaten. So 1 3-ounce can of sardines has about 300 milligrams of calcium. Now, 8 ounces of milk, a glass of milk, is also 300 milligrams of calcium. So you're getting the same amount of calcium. Another one of my favorites, and I actually make a homemade formula for my son, because I breastfed for about 7 months, but it just wasn't working out. I couldn't do it anymore. So I ended up making him a goat milk-based formula with blackstrap molasses in it. And blackstrap molasses is super high in calcium. Two
Interesting.
tablespoons is, yeah, 2 tablespoons is 400 milligrams, so more than a glass of milk. Green vegetables are also fabulous. So like 1 cup of collard greens is 350 milligrams more than a glass of milk.
Yep.
And broccoli, you know, broccoli is very popular. My son loves broccoli, 180 milligrams per cup. So, you mean, you can easily, your kids can easily eat a couple cups. Other great things, almond butter, kids love almond butter. Two tablespoons, which is a really small amount, 100 milligrams of calcium. Any green vegetables are great, kale, turnip greens, anything like that. What else? Oh, beans. I don't really do a lot of beans in my house, but like navy beans are pretty high in calcium.
Yep. We do a lot of beans here. So yeah, that's what I'm always, greens and beans, I'm always saying.
Beans and beans, yes, there you go.
But,
now,
so,
another thing I wanted to touch on is, a lot of times you'll see like orange juice or cereal, box cereal that says, you know, it has a whole bunch of calcium in it. But that calcium is not naturally occurring. So that's fortified, which you're going to get some of that when you eat those foods, but you're not going to get the really absorbable. It's not really going to get into the system as well as if it's naturally occurring. So I always kind of.
And I was going to actually ask, I was going to ask that about dairy, because it is. Isn't it like not really apples to apples, like the calcium in greens to the calcium in dairy, just because dairy is harder for a lot of people to digest?
Yeah.
Is that a true fact?
Yes. Yeah, I do really feel that it's not as bioavailable to the body when it's in dairy, just because there is a lot of processing that has to go on in the body to be able to absorb it.
Yeah, got it. Cool. I'm so glad you touched on that, because I'm always trying to find, I felt it. I feel so much better without dairy. And then I actually, it's interesting. I have my middle daughter has a lot of food issues, and she had awful eczema as a child. And so at some point I, you know, took her to the doctor. They said, everything's fine. You know, gave us all these creams that I didn't want to put on her because they had antibiotics in them. And then eventually, like somewhere, I got tipped about dairy, and this was before I had started my whole thing. And so we took it out of her diet, and it literally went away in 3 days.
Wow.
And it still feels like something that not everybody believes me about.
You
know what I mean?
I mean, it's really funny. Like, even kids with behavioral problems like ADD, ADHD, autism, if you remove gluten, dairy, and artificial colors and artificial flavors.
Yep.
Like, oh my God, what a world of difference it does for so many childhood problems, like from eczema to, you know, attention deficit disorder to, you know, their tummy hurts or, you know, anything like that. And if your kid is not feeling well, you know, really look at what they're eating and, you know, go. I like the paleo diet for being an elimination diet, you know, really getting to the whole real foods and eliminating those allergenic foods. Yeah, so it's
She actually
really, it's cheap too. It doesn't cost anything to just eliminate certain things, you know.
That's true, and it's interesting, even in a child, how different it is when they feel good, you know. And and it's children. I found, well, my daughter at least, you know, she was young enough that we were just were sure we couldn't tell what was wrong, but she was always grumpy, and because we had two others, we knew that, you know. This wasn't normal.
Yeah.
And so it really was like she just must have woken up every morning thinking you're supposed to be in pain. You know, and so every layer we sort of peeled off, you know, had this thing. We were lucky that a lot of her things actually did show up on her skin. So it's funny you said the dye thing, because she was in a little preschool and she was in the red room. And they would dye like the water and the sand. And so she would come home with these hands that were like,
oh no,
you know, five times the size of her normal hands. So we were able to pretty quickly deduct that this was not good for her.
And you know what's really funny? When you said that, you know, she probably woke up and thought that it was just normal to be in pain or uncomfortable every day. I think that a lot of adults, you know, we wake up, well, there's so many like over-the-counter remedies for like heartburn and gas and bloating and headaches and all the and sinus problems and congestion. So it's all these things that we think are so normal and that we deal with on an everyday basis, where just like your children, if you were to remove these allergenic foods from your diet, you may be able to get away with not running to Rite Aid or CVS or your local drugstore to pick up those remedies, because you may not need them after all.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because my, like, my initial reason behind changing my food was this weight that I didn't want on my body anymore. And it's funny, people always say, well, how long did it take? And it's hard for me. I wish I took more pictures so I knew, but it's hard for me to feel like it was anything. Like, I feel like it really happened so quick. And the most, I think the biggest part of that had so little to do with the weight and more to do with the fact that, one, I had never gotten a period in my whole life. I did get pregnant three times, but don't ask, like, it was always with medicine. I had never, without medication, had a period. And so, like, 4 days after I changed my food, I got a period. Like, and I was just like, whoa, I've like never been so excited about that in my life. Some days I'm wondering, like, why? Maybe I should just start eating that again.
There's some women listening, like, can we get that
I
diet that
know,
makes you not
right?
have a period?
Exactly. And then allergies, I had always had awful, like, seasonal allergies. Now, I'm not even talking food allergies, but I was always that person who was like sniffling and sneezing and had watery eyes. Like, literally, I have not had an allergy since in 7 years. So it's just like all these things, and it was so powerful, and not to mention like the energy and the skin and whatnot, but I just couldn't get over that because I was definitely that person who like would run to CVS to get Benadryl like after 5 hours of just not being able to see out of my eyes. You know what I mean? It was a much
That's so
easier
funny.
fix.
Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of women will come to me for like weight loss because my website is called Metabolic Mama, so they think metabolism, weight loss. And it's really metabolic really means ability to change or the power to change. And so a lot of times they'll come to me for weight loss and then they'll be doing their intake form and I'll uncover all these other issues that they're experiencing that they just kind of brushed away as being normal. Where it's not normal at all. And not only do they lose weight, but they like change their whole life because they actually can like enjoy life and have energy and not have skin problems and tummy problems and all these other things. So it's amazing.
Yeah, and I actually feel like the weight is sometimes a gift because then you are for like because in our society that's like the cue to change. Because I love someone, I forget who was talking about skinny sick kids a lot, but so often I see these little teeny children, stuffing their face with, I don't know, gum drops and whatnot. And like it's hard, but it's hard not to call them healthy because they're, by our standards of a little person, they look healthy. Whereas if a child is starting to be overweight, we start to question what food they're having.
Yeah, it's such a, even for adults, I mean, I have a lot of women who are thin, and they eat crazy food and they drink alcohol and but their body's not working. It doesn't just because your
Skinny.
weight is not an indicator of your health at all.
Yeah. And it's important to remember to everyone for everyone listening. Cool. So let's where are we gonna go now? Okay, I know what I wanted to ask you. So if you're about to, so if you're listening, all the mamas listening and deciding that they want to take sort of the first step, well, I sort of have like a two-sided question. One, I feel like a lot of us aren't supported correctly medically, which is a hard, it's interestingly enough, it's even been a hard thing for me to figure out. Like, it's hard to find a doctor who can, have the thoughts that you're having. it's not how our system is built. So I guess one question would be how to go about finding the support that you need, to move forward. From a medical standpoint, and it does that exist everywhere.
I think that it's important to really like be your own advocate and really explore your options. So I'm not against conventional medicine. I'm a natural medicine doctor, so we kind of do I work on healing using natural methods like food, lifestyle, meditation, herbs, supplements, things like that. Those are my tools to heal. And then conventional doctors, and this is why I switched paths, is conventional doctors, their tools to heal you are pharmaceutical drugs and surgery. So when you come in to a conventional doctor, they're going to, let's say you have a son and he has a rash. They're going to look at the rash and they're going to say, okay, this is a rash. We're going to call it so-and-so rash. And let me look up to see what medication I can give you to put on that rash to make it feel better. But if you come to me, I'm going to say, okay, Johnny has a rash. Let's find out why that rash is happening. and let's look into his lifestyle, let's look into his diet, let's look into his stress and see what's causing that to happen, and we're going to get it to stop happening. And so I really think that it's important to get both sides of the story. So immediately, Johnny might need to put some cream on his rash so he feels better immediately while we're figuring out why it's happening. So I think that it can be blended together. But unfortunately, your conventional doctor will probably not have the tools in his toolbox to figure out the diet and the lifestyle, because they don't learn that in medical school. Unfortunately, like, conventional doctors in medical school have about 2 weeks or a total of like 7 hours of nutrition training.
Yeah.
And that's usually sponsored by the National Dairy Board and, you know, Procter and Gamble. Oh, no, I'm not joking. Like, I went to a luncheon my first year of med school, and I was on the conventional side, and it was literally sponsored by Kellogg's.
Oh my God. Wow.
So, you know, I mean, you really have to understand like where the information is coming from.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if Johnny breaks his arm, don't come to me. Yeah. Go to your conventional doctor who could actually do some surgery and heal it.
Totally. So if you're suspecting that something, so, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of different like levels of people. So like there's the person who just wants to be healthier and wants to raise healthy kids. And I feel like, you know, we've covered and given a lot of tools to that person. So what about the person who's sensing that something is wrong, either with themselves or with their child? Like, tell us about the kind, you know, whether it be a food allergy or, you know, a gut issue. Like, how do you go about figuring out the right kind of testing for that?
So when parents have children and they sense something's wrong, the first thing I like to do is look at their environment, look at their home life, look at school and see, is there a bully? Is there something that they're scared about? Is there something threatening to them? And get rule that out first of all. Make sure they're not being abused. And so I like to rule that out first and then really look at what they're eating, what they're doing. Are they moving? Are they sitting in front of a computer all day? And really kind of, most people have the wherewithal to understand what a healthy diet is and what a not healthy diet is. And if you don't know, if you're not sure, there's tons of information online, holistic health coaches, holistic nutritionists, naturopathic doctors, functional doctors. We all have websites, so really great information. Just really, really try to find a natural medicine doctor, a functional medicine doctor, or a holistic health coach or nutritionist. And they can really guide you on what to eat and what not to eat. But really good rule of thumb is if it's found in nature and you can recognize it, that's a good thing to eat.
Yep.
Like, you know, if you're walking down the street or down the in the orchard and there's an apple on the tree, you can eat that. But if you're walking down the orchard, you're not going to see like a bag of Fritos hanging from the tree. So that's exactly. not a good thing. Yeah. So that's really a good place to start. And then really eliminating any of the processed foods from your child's diet that automatically is going to eliminate a lot of the sugars, the genetically modified foods. It's going to eliminate the artificial colors and flavors. So it's going to eliminate all those things that are really detrimental to their health.
Yep.
And could be causing a reaction. I see so many times it's the colors and the flavors that you don't really think about, because you can remove gluten, you can remove dairy, but you can still have those artificial colors and flavors.
Yeah.
And a lot of times those are the culprits in children.
My biggest shock was going like 3 years ago to speak at a gluten-free conference. And I just got there expecting to see this like slew of super healthy people. And I arrive and there was like hundreds of just, you know, not super healthy people, because all of a sudden I was like, oh, they just substituted out, you know, the regular American processed
the regular Fritos
for the gluten-free, dairy-free Fritos. And I was like, oh, I get it.
And see, that's still not naturally occurring. Like there's foods that are naturally gluten-free, and that's what I like to go to, and not the packaged processed stuff. I mean, once in a while, and what I'm saying is 90% of the time, it's what you do habitually is going to make the difference. If you have, it's a birthday and there's a processed food, that can happen. But you may notice, if you've been eliminating these things, you may notice a change in your child. If it's a behavior issue, you may notice that they start to get agitated or stressed or aggressive after eating those foods. And that's a great way for parents to really understand, is doing the elimination diet and then challenge by adding things back in and really watching to see how it affects, whether it's a skin issue, a tummy issue, or a behavior issue.
And actually, I think having, you know, kids who can talk about food a bit, I actually think it's a great teaching tool, because one of my goals is that my kids can go off, like, that I'm not Miss Dictator, and then they go off and they decide to eat all this food, but that they go off and make really good choices. So I'm always, like, you know, sort of humbled and so proud of them when they come home and they're like, gosh, Mom, I hope I don't get sick. I ate that by mistake and I totally noticed, you know, that X happened. And they do that now. And I'm like, yes, I love that. You know, and of course, the only way you can know that is by contrast every once in a while. But I love that, you know, even at age 7, they can really start to notice that. And by age 10, they can really verbalize it. You know, my daughter came home from school the other day and she was like, oh my gosh, Mom, I just need to get home. It's been crazy. And I said, what happened? And she said, well, in Spanish class, the teacher gave everyone cookies and everyone went crazy. Nobody could concentrate. And I was like, oh, so glad you noticed.
But you know, that's really great that you said that, because a lot of times we think about, oh, we're going to be depriving our kids. They're going to be upset. It's going to be horrible to not let them have these treats. But you're really right. Kids do. They're able to notice how they feel and how these things make them feel. So they don't want the things that make them feel horrible. Yeah. Just like we shouldn't want the things that make – once we understand our own bodies, I mean, even as adults, a lot of times it takes this elimination. It takes cutting it all out and then letting, being able to listen to your body while you add it back in. Then when you're adding it back in, you're like, oh, this food is the food that makes me feel like crap, you know? Because a lot of times you don't know and you're just eating everything. You can't tell what's making you feel bad and what's not making you feel bad, especially with food. It's really interesting. Like, food sensitivities may not show up until the next day or several meals after. So unless you're completely eliminating, you're not going to know which food is causing the problem.
And so after you've taken out these sort of like overarching ones, like, is there benefits to being tested, like, for things like fruits and vegetables? Or do you feel that, you know, if you're not usually sensitive to those, if you are living a pretty clean life? I feel like I hear a lot of people saying, oh, I shouldn't eat apples or I shouldn't eat pears. And no one's ever quite sure why, but they've, you know, read somewhere or heard somewhere that maybe they're sensitive to this thing.
Well, you know, okay, so here's the thing. I mean, if you do eliminate the regular culprits, you know, the typical allergens, the dairy, the gluten, the soy, the nuts, the eggs, things like that. And you're still experiencing problems, then I mean, digging a little deeper, maybe understand, like, looking into the detoxification system, how the body detoxifies, looking into the gut microbiome, seeing if, you know, digestion and assimilation of the food is happening properly. A lot of issues are in the gut when it comes to the bacteria balance. A lot of behavioral issues, like we've done a lot of work with autism, where it actually is a gut flora issue. So that could be an issue. But like for myself, even personally, I did have to do a food sensitivity test, a lab test, to find out that I was sensitive to olive oil.
Oh, right. I read that about you.
One of the most healthy, you know, healthy fats that you can have. And I'm Italian.
So you're supposed to have olive oil.
So I would put olive oil on everything, all my vegetables. And so before I found this out, asparagus was in season and I love asparagus. So I was making it all the time and drizzling it with olive oil. Mm. And I, you know, I was telling my husband, I'm like, I don't think I can eat asparagus anymore. I think asparagus is making me sick. And so I eliminated asparagus and I was still feeling horrible. Like, I was actually like bloated. I was gaining weight. I didn't understand what was going on. So I took the test and, you know, lo and behold, olive oil. So I eliminated it.
And what is the test?
Yeah, there's a couple different tests. There's a IgG test and then there's also a MRT. The MRT test is a mediator release test. So they actually test to see how your blood responds to certain food chemicals.
Okay.
And they do that like in a petri dish and they put like a sample, like, you know, microscopic sample of the food in with your blood and see if it reacts. And that's the one I did. But then there's also ones that just check your immune response to the food, see if you have elevated cytokines, which are immune proteins.
And those are blood tests.
Yeah, they're both blood tests. I mean, there's also a saliva test that can be done. I mean, none of them are 100% accurate.
Yep.
So, I mean, you can take one and then something may not come up and you may still be sensitive to it. So it's not, it shouldn't be done by itself. It should definitely be done after you eliminate, and then you still may need to do some investigation, but it's a great tool.
Yeah. Cool. It seems like it's a great tool and also a dangerous tool if you're not like totally in touch with like how you're feeling.
And then once you get those results, the really important thing to understand is like there's a reason why you're sensitive to these foods. And a lot of time it has to do with the integrity of your gut lining. And you may have heard like the term leaky gut. Mm-hmm. And what that means is the microfilm, the lining of your gut has some tears in it, or it's been loosened up. So it's letting these little particles go into your bloodstream that aren't supposed to be there. And that's why you're getting that sensitivity. So you really want to concentrate on healing your gut and healing your microbiome, your digestion, and your detoxification, so that eventually you can heal yourself from those food sensitivities and you won't be sensitive anymore.
Got it. Actually, that's the best anyone's explained that. We talk about the gut all the time on this podcast. I like that.
Oh, really? Yeah. So like when you think about the gut, it's not like this one like tube. It's actually a series of cells that are closely packed together. Mm-hmm. And when you have a sensitivity, the cells actually separate a little bit, letting there be a hole in that gut lining.
Got it.
And then that's where the allergen goes through.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. That just got my mind going in 1,000 directions, but we have to wrap up because we've been talking for a while. So tell everybody how they can find out about you and the best way to get in touch. And I mean, everyone listening is sort of all over the country, not necessarily can come see you directly. So what's the best way to connect with you online?
Okay. Well, my website is metabolicmama.com. So it's metabolic, and then mama, I spell it 2 M's, but you could also spell it with 1 M. You'll get to the same website.
Right.
And you can go to actually the contact me, and I actually do offer free consultations where I'll just give you some free advice if you have an issue with yourself or your child. I actually see all my patients virtually. I did this since I became a mom, and I work from my home office. I actually work with a lot of moms, and it's a lot harder for them to travel to see me in person. So even if they're in my own town, a lot of times I'll meet with them on Skype and we'll run the labs. I work with labs all over the country. So you can go to your lab in your local town. That lab will send me the results. And then, you know, I could also do imaging, like ultrasounds and all that stuff. I work with a network of technicians across the country. So it's really awesome.
Oh my God, I love that. That is awesome.
It's really where medicine is going. I actually have patients in England as well. And there's not a lot of naturopathic doctors for the amount of people in the world.
No.
And so it enables me to really reach more people and actually lower the cost of the visit because I'm doing it from my home. So I don't have the travel costs either. I don't have the overhead. Yep. So I'm able to make it more accessible to more people.
Oh my God. That's the best news I've heard all day. I'm coming. it's funny. I actually have to go get my kids a little early today and head into the pediatrician. I'm hoping that we don't have it, but we had a little Lyme disease scare.
So we
actually have to go there, but it's like every time I have to go, I'm like, oh, it's like, not a fun trip.
Yeah, it's like a half a day thing, right?
Yeah, it's just, well, I'm hoping it's not a half a day. Don't say
that. Well, but,
but yes.
Travel there, you know, think about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it is a lot, especially with a babe.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, more power to you, man. And 3 children, wow.
All right, so I have one final question that I ask everyone on the podcast, and that is that we know that food has just such an impact on our memories and on how we carry forward. So will you tell us, just to get to know you a little bit better, about one meal that stands out to you, either because of the food or the company or a particular aha you had while at the table? And it could be sort of a childhood memory or, you know, something that happened yesterday, but just something that would give us a glimpse into how food has played an impact in your life.
One meal that stands out to me, that's very interesting. So I would have to say, the meal that stands out to me the most is my husband is from Vermont. And so we were in Vermont And it was lobster season, so we were going to have a big lobster dinner. And I understand that animals need to like die for you to eat them, but I've never actually witnessed the actual lobster having to be boiled. And so we went to the store, we got the live lobsters, we brought them home. And I went and I picked out the lobster, and I didn't want to pick them out. I was crying in the store by the little tank. And then when we came home, I would not let them kill the lobster. I actually wanted to set the lobster free. So we didn't have the lobster dinner that night, and we had like fish, broiled fish
I love that.
instead. But I wouldn't let them. I could not do it. So it was, and I'm not a vegetarian, which is really funny.
Yeah, I love that. And I actually have a similar story, so I find that hysterical. I love that. And you didn't have it. Did you set them free?
I didn't set them free. I tried to, but my husband wouldn't let me because they won't survive in the wild. So we actually gave them to the neighbor, and the neighbor probably ate them, but I just didn't want to be part of
I
it.
love that. Well, that's an awesome story. So thank you.
I
So thank you
would
so
like to say I still have them as a pet, but that's not true.
Well, thank you so much for your time today and all that wisdom. It was amazing.
Oh, thank you so much for
Yeah.
having me. You're doing wonderful work, and being a mom with three kids, it's not easy. So thank you so much for doing what you do.
Oh, thank you. So this has been an amazing episode, and I will see all of you guys on the next episode of Plan Simple Meals. Have a great day. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.